For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To take Bass and kind of like ruff his feathers a little bit, you know?
I don't think he gets invited to a whole lot of parties.
Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Yellowstone Dutton Rules podcast. And right off the top, we have multiple things to talk about today, Bass Reeves and Yellowstone. But Billy, we've got some hot news to start this podcast off. Share with everyone the good news.
Well, this week's most important thing doesn't really have to do with Bass Reeves or Yellowstone, but it has to do with, I guess you could say both, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll get right to it. Most important thing is the strikes are over. The Screen Actors Guild strike has ended, which means Yellowstone pretty free to go forward with that timeline they set out that we talked about last week. Second half of season 5 will come in November 2024. It sounds like the two other related shows will come pretty soon after that. Still TBD on 1923. We haven't heard anything about the 4/6 show, which is very worrisome. And then if there's going to be more Bass Reeves, I guess it could kind of follow that. But everybody's getting back to work now. We're starting to kind of see a full schedule of releases for like network shows. So a lot of things already sort of lined up. And you got to assume, as of maybe today, actors are back on set working.
Gosh, so exciting. But also, it's been fun to see actors and actresses. Now they can share and kind of promote on their own social pages shows that they're in or that they're doing. I follow this gal on TikTok who I had no clue was in the acting world. But she's like, here's a movie that's coming out. And I was in. And obviously, she couldn't talk about it during the whole strike. So yeah, I'm just excited to watch the people who are in all these TV shows and even maybe Yellowstone people get excited about their own work that we haven't been able to see until now.
Have any of your favorite follows, Michelle Randolph and company, have they posted anything as of yet?
Michelle's been posting her own just like other collaborations that she's been a part of, whether it be fashion or anything like that. But I haven't seen any Yellowstone related. Have you been following Mr. Cole Hauser or anyone?
I haven't looked on Instagram yet to see that, but we'll have to look at like Breck and Merrill. He's usually good for something, but we're starting to kind of get a feel for how quickly they're going to be able to turn in new shows. Per deadline, CBS has just kind of updated how some of their new scripted shows are going to run, and it looks like the week after the Super Bowl is going to be a big week for CBS. CBS has the Super Bowl, so this is obviously a big promotional thing, but like, if you're a fan of like SWAT and Blue Bloods and Fire Country, those are all going to premiere on February 16th. Ghosts, which is a sitcom that my wife and I really started to enjoy, that's coming February 15th. And then all those other shows on CBS, NCIS. This is all to say that it looks like February is kind of a really realistic start point for some of those shows. So maybe like, you know, there's a lot of other Paramount Plus shows that we really were into, like Tulsa King. We mentioned 1923. Maybe we could get some of those before that premiere in November of Yellowstone.
While you were doing that, I looked up Breck and Merrill. He actually surprisingly hasn't posted anything. The last update was his horse that he rides, Storm, during Yellowstone, letting everyone know that his horse was okay.
What happened to that horse? This is Lucky. The horse's name on the show is Lucky. And if you remember, I don't think he's gotten lucky yet as far as like season one. That's a season 3 gift, isn't it?
Remember, I haven't seen season 3, so I guess to be determined. But the horse he suffered a bout of colic and he almost passed away is what Brecken was sharing. But thankfully, he's okay. He's living his best horse life, apparently. So that's what Brecken's been up to. He hasn't posted anything. But yeah, I mean, all that to be said, excited to see just actors and actresses starting to post more about their work. So y'all, Billy was about to say something. I was about to slide a little promo for us.
No, all you. Go ahead. I was nodding in agreement. Move it along, sister.
Y'all, we always greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review. But hey, we're not pressuring you. If you don't feel like we deserve 5 stars, we understand. We do greatly appreciate it. But give whatever score you feel is generous. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and you can rate us on Spotify. We always greatly appreciate it and greatly appreciate whoever you send it to. And if you want to head on to YouTube, you can see our bright and shiny faces as we always cover the podcast on a video format, which so far, I mean, Billy, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to be taking well.
A good positive response to the show on YouTube, which has been fun to see. And people have interacted there, as well as email staff@tasteofcountry.com for corrections, questions, and comments. The big 3 C's, as I call them.
I'll let you decide which direction we want to head here. We can either head to Bass Reeves, or we can talk about the fun little something that we have up our sleeve here on the Dutton Rules podcast.
Let's pin that. Let's go Bass Reeves first.
Okay.
Episode 3, or they're calling them part 3 of Bass Reeves.
Yes.
Still TBD on how many parts this show is going to be. Now, I know you've watched ahead to part 4. Can you say definitively that part 4 is the final part?
No.
No, okay. Not the case.
No,
so,
I definitely, if they did, they'd be leaving some loose ends. Yeah, I wouldn't, that would be odd to me. But granted, I never, with this kind of stuff, I never really know.
Okay. I didn't think so either. I'm expecting like 8 to 10 episodes of this show, especially because part 3 is what I like to call a maintenance episode. Nothing, it didn't seem really plot changing happened, but we introduced 3 new characters, Billy Crow, Garrett Montgomery, and Huff Underwood. 2 of those characters died, and we'll get to that in a moment. Kind of just further illustrated how some of the racism played out in the late 1800s. And then a couple of main characters that we expect to see a lot of, and that's the George Reeves, who's played by Shea Whigham, and Esau Pierce, who's played by Barry Pepper. They were not involved in this episode, and I kind of expect both of those characters to re-enter the drama at some point.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we saw here is that Bass Reeves was sworn in by Judge Parker as Deputy U.S. Marshal. So obviously that was a huge – that's kind of at the beginning, right, yeah, of this one?
That happened at the beginning of the episode, right. Donald Sutherland's character.
You know what my favorite part was is Sally Reeves. She's kind of my favorite so far. She's the oldest of – gosh, I mean, Bassin, remind me his wife's name. Why am I forgetting her name?
It's Jeannie E. Banks is the actress. Why am I forgetting her name as well?
Okay, well, why you look that up? Bass and his wife, they are 5 children deep at this point. I guess technically 4. Number 5 was on its way. It was welcomed into the world at the end of this episode. But I love it how there's a really sweet scene between Bass' wife and Sally. That's their oldest daughter. And she's kind of sharing like, hey, you know, you're entering into womanhood. You really need to step up and essentially, you know, help me take care of your kid, your siblings. But at the same time, I thought it was sweet. What is the mom's name? I can't keep saying the wife.
Jenny. Her name is Jenny. And history tells us this is actually the first wife that Bass Reeves has. Jenny dies around 1900, and then he marries again. But this is probably the one we're going to focus on for this series.
Surely, yeah. Well, I love, because this scene is very much so in the open, like towards the beginning. And as she's telling Sally, you know, you're really going to have to step up. What I love, though, is at the same time as she's telling her, you know, you've essentially got to mature, got to step up. There's this really sweet, they're doing laundry by the riverbed. And she kind of takes this scoop of water and splashes it. And, you know, she's looking around like, who did that? Who did that? And then there's just a really playful moment of, I don't know. I really liked kind of that juxtaposition of, you know, still she's a kid and, you know, the lightheartedness in it, but also, hey, you have a large role to step into.
What did you think about the sort of nonchalance, which with she delivers a baby? I mean, she makes a baby like your mama might make a casserole. It's just like, this is what we do on Tuesday.
I know. Well, I was like, dadgum, girl. But I think if you, you know, the life that they're living and all the above, I wonder if it's one of those of like, it's relative, like pain is relative. Pain is still pain. Don't, I am right. not, like I've never given birth to a child, so I have no place to say quite literally squat. But it's one of those of like, when you have gone through a really hard life, hard is relative. I mean, you can take on a lot more pain than let's say I could. Pretty much she's bad A.
Yeah. No, she really is. And the baby arrives while Bass is out sort of hunting down his first fugitive. He's looking for some thieves who robbed this stagecoach. And it's the Underwood gang is the main group of thieves. Billy Crow is sort of one of their lower level henchmen. And this is a character I think we're probably going to see a lot of. I suspect Billy Crow is going to kind of turn good and maybe work with Bass. Maybe Bass's new posse man in episode 4. I know you've watched, so don't tell me. That's kind of where I thought maybe that was headed. Billy Crow ends up getting arrested, but he seems to be really sort of a remorseful type of thief. Like at this point, it's clear he doesn't want to be a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a Cherokee outlaw. And I actually really like, I kind of like him.
Yeah. I do too. Forrest Goodluck is the actor's name, and I don't know too much about him. I kind of anticipated Garrett Montgomery, who is Bass's first posse man, to be a major character in this show.
But he dies.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
He's gone, which I haven't seen Tulsa King, but he also plays in Tulsa King, right?
Yeah, the actor is Garrett Hedlund, and he, if you've seen Tulsa King, this is the bartender. And if you go way back, he was Tim McGraw's son in the movie Friday Night Lights, which was like 20 years ago. So he looks obviously a lot different then, but a fairly well-known actor, which is why I thought he'd stick around a lot longer.
Oh, dadgum. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, same kid.
What kind of stuck out to you? I told you kind of my favorite with Sally. That was my favorite scene. Also, I really enjoy so far Billy Crow. What was your favorite takeaway from this?
Well, I loved the poker scene when Bass sits down and you get to see a little bit about his creativity in terms of how he's getting his information. Like he needs some information from this group of thieves. No one's going to give it up to him. So he sits down at the poker table with this group who are presumably they're like related to the Underwood gang, or at least they know about some of the outlaw stuff going on. And he kind of clears the table. He wins all their money. And right when things are about to get heavy and maybe there's a fight that's going to break out, he says, listen, I'll give all your money back. Give me some information. And that's exactly what happens. They end up arresting Billy Crow, who's what he's after, and they kind of go from there. But that cheeky poker, that for the first time to me was when like I thought like maybe Bass has a little bit of a lighter side or a little bit of a clever sort of cheeky side to him. I mean, it's the closest we've come so far, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Y'all who are listening, do you just feel like I just want to take Bass and kind of like ruffle his feathers a little bit, you know?
I don't think he gets invited to a whole lot of parties.
No, he is not the life of the party. No. Oh, needless to say. But I will say, Billy, this is a hot take on my behalf. If we remember, I was a little hesitant on Bass Reeves. Not him as a person, the show more right. So. I'm enjoying it, actually.
It's lightened up in some ways, and I think that's mostly come through like the portrayal of his home life with Jenny and his daughters.
Yes.
And some of the characters around him, like Cheryl, played by Dennis Quaid, was a kind of a looser character. Even while we had him, Garrett Montgomery was a little bit more of a lighthearted character.
Yes.
Kind of brought some levity to the show a little bit, because Bass does not seem to be able to provide any of that.
No.
Like he is straightforward. He is the straight man of the Laurel and Hardy comedy troupe.
I am loving young Arthur. Little young Sally Reeves, little love interest. What is the actor's name? He plays in This Is Us. I remember you telling me that.
Lonnie Chavis. And he played young Chavis. Randall Pearson in This Is Us, the boy version of that. Yes. He's kind of grown up now. And we learn a little bit more about him, too, which leads me to believe that he's going to become a major character. We learn that, what's his name on the show?
Arthur.
Arthur is an orphan. Both of his parents have died, so he kind of tells Sally to appreciate having a mom and a dad. And, you know, he's kind of going, he's full press on with his courtship of young Sally, even though the mom told him to stay away. He's not listening, as one would hope.
You know what's interesting? I mean, it's not necessarily a comparison to Rip Wheeler, but they're big on orphans or just like parentless love interests.
That's a good point. Oh. Rip and just, who else was in? There was Homeboy on Yellowstone, the newest orphan.
What?
The Australian actor who plays in season 4 and season 5, Beth's sort of son.
Oh, why can I not think of his name? Oh my gosh. Yay. Carter.
That's right. I couldn't think of his name either.
Gosh. That was going to drive me nuts. Carter. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Lots of orphans.
Yeah. Big theme there. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But that was my favorite. You asked my favorite scene. The gambling scene was sort of my favorite scene.
I thought I did a little bit more digging on Judge Parker and about how many convictions. And he was known as the hanging judge. And he sentenced about 160 people to death. And 79 of those were executed during his time. Which is very interesting.
And at the end of part 3 of this, we see him sentence 2 men to death. Yeah. For murder or manslaughter or whatever crime mm-hmm. is committed. And he does seem to be pretty merciless. Bass wants to give the one young boy a little bit of grace because mm-hmm. the kid was starving and the murder sort of stemmed out of that. But it's pretty clear that he's going to hang. How does he put it? How does Judge Parker put it? You're sentenced to death. He has a way of saying it that's really illustrative.
Yeah, he is hung. When you said it suggests, no, that we end it with he is. I mean, we don't see that, but
right.
that his sentence is to be hung.
I feel like we probably will see it though.
Ooh, yeah, my stomach kind of turned at that. I hope not.
Yeah, it feels like a show that's not going to shy away from it. But yeah, not a lot of action per se outside of just the establishing about how Bass Reeves goes about his business. That's why I call it a maintenance episode. I'm excited for episode 4 because I feel like we'll get kind of maybe back to some things that really change the plot.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay, I guess not. Maybe I'll just read the Wikipedia recap and we'll see how we do.
Well, y'all, can I now share the news before we transition into Yellowstone?
Yeah, exciting news. We teased this last week, but now it's available. But go ahead, Addison, and I'll jump in as needed.
Y'all, we have Yellowstone Dutton Rules merch, baby. It is a t-shirt. Billy is currently holding it up. It comes in 3 different colors, olive, slate, or charcoal, and white. For those who are just listening to the podcast, Billy, can you hold it up so I can read it? Thank you. It's a picture of Rip, and it says Train Station Tours Yellowstone Free Shuttle since 1886. Check it out. Tasteofcountry.com. is where y'all can see it. We'll eventually have, this is on my end of things to do, but hopefully at some point we'll have it on our Instagram shop and TikTok shop. But for right now, you can go to tasteofcountry.com to search those. And I am pumped.
So two quick corrections to your description there.
Shoot.
The 3 colors are olive, white, and asphalt.
Charcoal slate. I was on the same. That was close. They get the point. It's gray, Billy. It's gray.
And you can actually go to tasteofcountrystore.com if you want to see like the isolated. You can get there through tasteofcountry.com if you find the drop downs and you go to store. But you can go to right at tasteofcountrystore.com and see that. Not only that shirt, but we have a couple of other more country music related shirts. Mm-hmm. One that promotes Dolly and Reba for president. And several more that you can get. And it looks like we have sweatshirts available for all of these as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want a trucker hat. Yeah.
Y'all, I'm a big trucker. I'd feel like if you said, you know, what is the one thing that you couldn't live without, like clothing staple? I'd say I'm known for my trucker hats. I love a good trucker hat.
Yeah. I agree. And we've asked about it because this logo with the Yellowstone one would look great on a hat. And we're like, okay, how about hats? And I don't know. I didn't read that whole email. It was words, can't do it right now. Maybe words later down. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Just tell me when you got the hat, Jim. But hopefully soon.
Well, yeah. Let us know, staff at tasteofcountry.com, or even if you want to comment on the YouTube channel, etc. If y'all ever purchase one, let us know. Also, you can tag us on Instagram. I check those. I'm always up to date with our DMs and stuff like that. So yeah, tag Taste of Country. It's a fun thing to see it out in the wild. So please do if you guys purchase.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yellowstone?
Yeah, I'm ready. There was episode 4, Only Devils Left.
This was a big episode. I thought a lot happened in this episode that was really pretty important. And I'll tell you what I thought was the most important thing in this episode, and it might surprise you. It was when Donnie Haskell failed to provide backup for Steve Hendon and Casey on that case they were kind of investigating off to the side there about the cattle degradation. That was super important for what's going to happen down the line. And I don't want to tell you why at this moment, but just remember that and Donnie Haskell's behavior overall, because that's going to kind of come circling back here before the end of season 2.
My biggest thing was that Cassie Reed came into the picture. She's now attorney general, and here's Jamie in the corner pouting like a puppy.
Well, you got to give him a little bit of props for kind of showing up for like that meeting and her coming to the dinner table. Like, he's really swallowing his pride here with this Cassidy Reed. Like, it was about as comfortable as maybe you could expect.
You know what? I rolled. I was like, classic. A hot blonde bombshell is, of course, you know, the next attorney general. It's not some dweeby guy.
Yeah, I do kind of wonder if like if they made a calendar of like the 12 hottest American attorney generals, like I feel like she'd probably be on the cover. Don't you think? Like,
yeah.
You know, if they did something just to kind of support the local fire departments, like what, like one may do, we're dating ourselves now because no one makes those kind of calendars, but you know what I mean? Like, you saw them in like the center council or the center of the areas of the mall.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, where are we headed, Billy? Where are we headed? Pull up.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to go any further with that, but yeah, she's a good looker. But she's a little bit of a don't worry about it.
Okay. That's good to know.
I can't recall what ends up happening to her.
But she's just a don't worry about it.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is the one I do admit I watched this before we headed into CMA Awards and stuff like that. So I did take notes. So I want to make sure that it was the correct episode. This is the episode where Casey, Rip, and Jamie, they go out to the ranch. Or I don't know if Jamie's actually there. But Jimmy sees the cows looking funny, bloated. They realize that the clover is all over the place that shouldn't be there. And they start losing. I mean, truly, their cattle start dropping like flies.
Yeah, and that is this sets a lot of chain of events into motion. At the beginning of the episode, we see a plane flying low over the ranch, dropping bales of hay. So we know as viewers right off the top that someone has sabotaged and caused this destruction. It ends up being bales of clover. Clover apparently is fatal to cows. It makes them bloated. Anyways, this is a big issue. It's deadly to the cattle. Hundreds of cattle are killed, and John and the team kind of figure out what have happened, and they're spot on. They think Dan Jenkins or Tom Rainwater is responsible, but they're still sort of investigating that.
Can you explain? I wrote down, so during all of this, so I don't remember why Jamie's in John's office, but he pretty much, in rummaging through, he's trying to find something for John. And in finding something for John, he finds that John put the ranch in a trust. Can you explain to me why that makes Jamie upset?
Because he's not in the trust.
Okay, gotcha.
You remember Beth? John had Beth do it, and they wrote Jamie out of the trust.
Okay, I couldn't completely remember.
Yeah, I think that's the big reason there. There was a lot of legality stuff that sort of happened early in this episode that ends up kind of being important years later, but it was kind of difficult to sort of keep track on, just mostly because like all the legal stuff is so boring relative to like cows bloating and murder and some of the other things and the meth bros and everything. You know, it's you almost forget about it, but it's really critical to the plot, I think.
Well, I think what's interesting is you also in that scene, you find out the ranch hasn't made a profit in 6 years. They haven't made a profit on the ranch in 6 years. That's like a long time.
Yes. And that underscores sort of this sense of urgency for which John is working to kind of get that turned around or make sure the ranch is secure in the hands of his kids. And also why like the threat of like a development is so immediate, because if his taxes go up, he's not going to be able to pay those taxes. So he has to take extreme steps to prevent that from happening and kind of, you know, it explains his methodology a little bit in doing things like moving the river and some of these things.
You know, I found really funny and almost eye-rolly is the fact that the Dutton family, so Cassidy Reed comes over. She's now the new attorney general. They have her over for dinner. And the fact that the Duttons have very assigned seating still as, you know, let's say the 30-plus-year-olds, it really made me cackle of like – Beth has her spot, Casey. Everyone has their spot at the table, and you don't think about going somewhere else.
It seems to be just Beth's deal, doesn't it?
Well, when Jamie went to go sit, well, so Beth being the person that she is, she tells Cassidy, here, you can sit here, aka Jamie's spot.
Right.
Or quote unquote his spot. And so then Jamie, you know, he was going to sit in, Lee's spot? Is that what that spot, or was that Casey's spot?
It was either Lee's spot or their mother's spot. I'm not sure.
Or maybe a mother. Okay. And pretty much Beth says, don't you dare. You can come sit by me. You know, classic. And then she's going to poke him with a knife, quite literally underneath the table. But he understood. I know that you're saying it's a Beth thing, but the fact that Jamie, when she's like, don't you dare, like, I think he understood. Like, he knew sitting there would be the space that someone else used to sit, aka Lee or the mom. See what I'm saying? Like, I think it might be a whole family, like, underlying. It's weird, but whatever.
Yeah. Do you guys at the Hager table, do you have assigned seating or a spot where everybody usually sits? No. We do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It changes. I mean, it changes from time to time. Sometimes we'll just rotate to shake it up, but, like, night after night, I'll sit. I usually sit next to my youngest son, and then the other side of me is my middle son. And part of that's because I like to keep an eye on my youngest son. You know, we space the kids about it. It's methodical because we want kids sort of spaced away from each other. So there's not any hijinks. But
well, and granted, all of us are like, my youngest brother's married. Like, other one lives in New York. Like, none of us are together anymore. But I'm trying to think of when we grew up. I mean, we had a round table. And no, we kind of, interesting. No, we just kind of sat wherever.
Yeah.
But I do like, that's kind of fun.
I think this is the first episode where we got to meet Steve Hendon, Agent Hendon, played by he's the same actor plays Cookie in 1883, and he's sort of Taylor Sheridan's Where's Waldo, and that he pops up in almost every series. He's also a big part of Lioness. I'm blanking on the actor's name right now.
But love that show.
Yeah, Hendon is, I mean, let's just say it. He's an idiot. Like, he is. He has one great scene. He has a scene here where he just freaks out and kills the kid. And in a couple of seasons, he has another scene that's even worse, where he's just sort of a moron, but he has a badge and a gun. So I guess you have to respect him. But he ends up, I mean, it's a hot mess what happens on that ranch.
That was a rough scene. I was like, you idiot. And even Casey's like, you idiot.
Yeah. So what happens is, Casey and Hendon are going to investigate different skydive locations because they believe a skydiving plane might be responsible for putting the bales of clover on the field. They want to find out who it is, but they get pulled away because there's a case where they have to go investigate some dead cattle, and it's possibly wolves. They end up at a neighbor's ranch where the neighbor has been mutilating his dead cattle so he can get them paid back. So an insurance bump can kick in. Well, while that's all happening, the neighbor's kid comes out with a shotgun, is like, don't you mess with my dad. And they're trying to talk him down. And Hendon's like, don't do it. You can just see him freaking out, and he ends up shooting the kid. Yeah. And the kid gets killed. And it's just mad drama. And that's the scene where Sheriff Haskell hadn't responded to. Had there been a show of law enforcement, none of that would have happened, is John's point.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. And then ends up, a teenager gets killed. It was ugly.
you know what was a little bit more lighthearted and kind of made me laugh. So at the end of this episode, you see that essentially Casey and Monica make up. They have a little romance scene, if you will.
I would say so. Makeup is an understatement.
They get it on. Well, my favorite – this is my favorite part, and I genuinely laughed so hard. And so, yeah, they have a moment, let's say, and they're both naked in bed, and here comes Tate.
Yes.
At the end of all this, kind of just like, hey, guys, just kind of strolling in, like nothing to see here. And it's like, okay, your parents are naked, and you're just now in the middle of the bed just like, all right, Dad, yeah. You're home. Great. I was like, this is – what is happening?
No. No, I would not. That would also, Casey, Monica has no problem just answering the door in a towel. Like she's in her bath towel and she's just, oh, well, let's just see who's at the door. Whoop. Oh, thank God.
That's
it was
true.
Casey.
I guess she did. Who knows who could have been? People or anything. I didn't think about that.
I suppose, but you would think she would sort of cover up. I mean, that has just a bad idea overall, I feel like. Unless you really want to surprise the Amazon driver.
Ta-da! Sweats. It did make me laugh at that Tate scene. I was like, what? No. And Tate's just not fazed. He's like completely, you know, tunnel vision, just Dad's home. I was like, there's so much happening in this moment that are just like, mm-mm, back away.
So two other things that happened that are worth mentioning is that the reporter, Sarah, is trying to get a hold of Jamie. He sends her to voicemail, so that doesn't progress. But it's just a reminder that she's still out there with her story, and that has to be resolved. And the other thing is the Beck brothers, Malcolm and Teal Beck, show up at the Dutton front door and have a pretty intense conversation with John where they suggest partnering up to go against Dan Jenkins and Thomas Rainwater. John Dutton basically says, I'll take care of this myself. But they're still out there sort of watching and pulling strings. Mm-hmm. Through all of mm-hmm. this. And now the Duttons are aware of them. So it's their first sort of meeting of the minds. Pretty important as sort of we move forward episodes 5 and beyond this season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All righty. Should we head into Q&A?
Well, trivia this week.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Yeah, what was trivia last week? Oh, no, we didn't do a trivia question last week. We forgot.
Yeah, we did. Our bet there, we answered the one and then got moving on to something else. And we forgot to answer. So it's the same trivia question that I had for last week. I'm going to ask this week.
Okay, go for it.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com is the place to answer trivia questions. And it's kind of a simple one, but maybe not. What does the sign outside the Yellowstone Ranch say? And I'm looking for the exact verbiage of that sign.
I won't tell people I'm looking it up.
You know, looking up is a little dangerous because you can find some false answers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I know what it says. Anyways,
I'm not going to give any clues. It's not a terribly difficult trivia answer, but as always, the first person to get the correct answer either in the YouTube comments or via email at staff@tasteofcountry.com. We'll get their own moment of glory on the podcast next week.
It's a pretty straightforward answer, but yes.
It is.
Well, y'all, what is... Wait, who? Oh, yeah, duh. No one won. No one won because we didn't have a trivia.
Right.
Q&A, let's do it.
Oh, can I mention one more thing?
Yeah.
Sure. Just something to kind of note. Taylor Sheridan has this thing where the birds always have meaning. And okay. We touched on this a little bit when Lee died and how there was a bird that appeared to John Dutton and seemed to sort of give him a message. Back in 1883, yes. When Elsa dies, the same thing happens. Right before the scene where the teenager dies, it cuts overhead and you see a black bird, a hawk of some sort, flying over top. Just remember, like, whenever you see birds, that's usually a foreshadowing that something pretty ominous and scary is probably going to happen. But we see it probably not for the first time, but really clearly there right before that scene where Hendon has his boneheaded move and kills that kid.
Interesting. I didn't even notice that.
A little creepy. Or
I didn't remember it. I probably noticed it, but didn't.
You wouldn't unless you kind of knew. I mean, it's just sort of a weird little thing, like these little Easter eggs that Taylor Sheridan puts in here and there. I like to point them out.
Q&A?
No Q&A this week. I think we can wrap.
Oh. Wow. Well, y'all, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, staff at tasteofguncountry.com is where you can leave your trivia question. You can also leave it on the YouTube video. We greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review, as always. But you can, like I said, leave whatever rating you feel led to. We always appreciate it. This podcast is another Dandy Tavsker Media podcast, y'all.
Dandy. Yeah, it was dandy today.
Okay, it was dandy.
No, I liked dandy.
Nice. Thanks for hanging.
Burst of sunshine over there, aren't you, Alice? Dandy, dandy. See ya.
Bye. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.